Good day, everybody. This is David Marsh. I'm the chairman of OMFIF. I'm very pleased to be here with Didier Borowski, who's the head of Global Views at Amundi, and we're speaking about the strategic review of the European Central Bank, which is due to come to an end in the autumn of 2021. First of all, Didier, could you describe to me in simple words, what do you think this strategic review is designed to achieve?
Well, my guess is that they will have to deal with several key topics. My point is that, as you know, they have a two-pillar strategy, and they will have to clarify what they think about it and what if there is any, you know, money aggregate in their mandate. They will have also to clarify what is the ultimate goal. My point is that it has been clear over the past years that they would adopt a symmetric inflation target. What does it mean in practice? Do they want to get to an average inflation targeting regime like the Fed? It is a distinct possibility, but it's not an easy move. And or do they want to raise the inflation target? So I think they have to clarify what their goals are and how they intend to implement monetary policy looking ahead. And this means in practice that they will also have to clarify their forward guidance. And there are many, many unanswered questions. You know that the term mandate for the ECB is quite vague from a legal standpoint. They need to clarify what the overshooting is if they adopt in particular an average inflation targeting regime. So my point is that they have many, many, many things to clarify in order to be fully credible.
Let's just go into that question of symmetry. Do you think that the symmetry is there already? It's slightly paradoxical because, of course, the ECB has struggled in the last 5 or 6 years to get anywhere near the target rate or the reference rate of 2%. The actual reference rate is close to but below 2%. Are you actually saying that the policy already is to try to get to 2%, but also potentially to run above 2%? So in a way, the target is already symmetrical de facto, even though they're not actually achieving it.
They have already communicated on the fact that their target was symmetrical. In fact, when you look at precise number, between 1999 until 2011, well, average inflation was close to 2%. While since 2012 until the COVID crisis, it was around 1.2%. Let's say that over the past 10 years, the ECB has failed to reach its target. And basically, the idea is that what the ECB would want in order to anchor inflation expectation is to allow inflation evolving above its target for a while in order to reach, you know, these 2%. But it does not necessarily mean an average inflation targeting regime, which is quite different, because in that case, they would have to be much more specific regarding the range around this this target. And that's probably the most difficult point.
One important point is whether they should indeed suggest a range, say 1-3%. That would be a way of accommodating the fact they found it very difficult to get even towards 2%. Do you think that that would be a good idea, Didier?
That's something that they will certainly consider. Now, you have what they want to achieve, but they have also to review the way they build their consumer price index. I mean, what they are going to target. You know, some argue that, you know, housing prices should be better reflected in the index. Other that volatile components, you know, should be more than they have been so far. So that's, you know, you need to be very clear about what you are going to target and the way you are going to target. And finally, about the tools that you intend to mobilize in order to reach your target. And that's probably where the difficulty is, to be very clear about the instruments that that will be used to reach the target.
We'll mention the instruments in a moment, but let's also talk about this idea of widening the index to include a better reference to housing costs. Many ordinary people up and down the monetary union area feel that inflation is much higher than the statisticians tell us. Perceived inflation in many countries is more like 4% rather than the very low or negative numbers that we have at the moment. Would one way of getting over that to include some of these volatile components or some greater measure of housing costs, which is hitting the ordinary person quite hard in some countries?
You know, there have been some papers that were written on that. My point is that when you want to include these housing prices, you hardly increase at the end of the day the measure of inflation. Can seem counterintuitive, but would not be a game changer. And even if you raise, you know, the level of inflation, the question would be, should the ECB hike rates as soon as this target reaches, you know, the 2% target? So that would not change, I would say, the debate about if it should be an average inflation targeting regime or not, or should they raise the inflation target? And here they have to be very clear in order to maintain their credibility. My point is that they will probably avoid raising the inflation target because it could raise, you know, some credibility concerns. They need to stick to some, you know, some definition regarding the inflation price, and they need to be also to adopt a very flexible, you know, a monetary policy given the uncertainty about the economic cycles and the long-term consequences about what has been done in terms of monetary policy over the past few years. The mandate has to be clarified on the one hand, but they need also to maintain some flexibility in order to cope with potential side effects of the current monetary policy action.
You seem to be indicating that a straightforward inflation targeting based on an average is not on the table because that would imply not enough flexibility. Could you characterize the debates between the hawks and the doves on the governing council on this? Because some of the countries which are habitually somewhat more hawkish, they're very worried about an average approach because that would imply that for many years inflation would go beyond 2% without the ECB taking any action at all to combat that. Could you tell us a little bit about where you see the debate on the governing council on that key issue, please, Didier?
Yes, in fact, there are hawks, as always, you know, in the ECB would like to keep the mandate and change or close to the current definition. Having said that, I think that there is now a consensus to consider that what has been done since 2014, 2015 has benefited to the Eurozone on average. And I think there is also a vast majority of the ECB Council, which recognizes, in fact, that thanks to the toolkit, the new toolkit, and to the QE policies, the ECB has managed to cope with the current crisis. So my point is that it's all about the credibility. The ECB is credible. Price stability has to be clearly defined because this is the only mandate that the ECB has in addition to financial stability, but it's a secondary objective. And the clarifications needs, if you adopt an average inflation targeting regime, you have to clarify also the period during which you would like inflation to overshoot. And I think you can reassure the hawks if you clarify the fact that at the end of the day, the primary objective is to anchor inflation expectation. And my point is that what they would want to adopt, I believe, the kind of price level targeting regime, it's basically a hidden price level targeting regime. My point is that they cannot communicate about that because nobody knows precisely what the price level is. I mean, what the Fed did, in fact, about an average inflation targeting regime. If they clarify the fact that they want to incur inflation expectation, if there is some mention about, you know, inflation expectations in the due mandate, it could reconcile the positions. Because my guess is that the only worry that there is to lose credibility over time with monetary policy, which would abandon de facto its inflation target. And I don't believe that it's going to occur anytime soon. They will stick with their inflation target, but they need to clarify what they intend to do in order to anchor inflation expectation in the medium to long run.
I agree with you that the idea of some of the German economists that they should simply take 1% and be happy with that and say this is already paradise. I agree with you that they won't do that. You mentioned just now a dual mandate. Of course, part of their mandate is in order to support the general economic policy of the European Union. And the governor of the Banque de France, François Villiers de Galou, made a very sophisticated speech recently at an OMFIF event in which he did speak about potentially widening the mandate de facto, although not de jure, to include a measure or an indication of unemployment. He claimed that that was already in there because of this stipulation to support the general economic policies of the European Union. Do you foresee any overt language on that issue, Didier?
Well, that's a possibility. Having said that, I don't believe that there is a consensus at this stage regarding a dual mandate. When you target, you know, the inflation rate, you need to focus on many variables, including, you know, the output gap, unemployment rates, and so on. And I think there is a wide consensus that you need to monitor many real variables and financial indicators in order to fulfill your objective. It's not likely that the ECB will mimic the Fed adopting a dual mandate, but they can clarify their position regarding the tools and the way they will want to achieve their target, and by doing so, maintain their credibility. The credibility is clearly at stake, in particular, you know, for countries like Germany. They have to find some common ground in order to reassure the hawkish members of the ECB.
Do you think they should formally drop the monetary pillar?
Probably. I believe that it's almost consensual that it's no longer justified. Having said that, while there is a consensus, you know, that it's no longer needed, it has been key to reassure many countries in the Eurozone. And at the end of the day, in practice, we need to recognize, despite the fact that, you know, M3 from time to time was very far away from its target, by that, in fact, the ECB has managed to launch its QE policies, to do whatever it takes, you know, during the Euro sovereign debt crisis. So it's not a big deal. I would say that for the sake of clarity, they would probably need to remove these two pillar structure. I believe that the vast majority of economists would advise to do that. Having said that, it's not sure that they will find the common ground to go in this direction.
I think the German representatives would indeed find that very problematic. Could I ask you about the tools now? Given the fact that we are a long way away from the 2% reference level, and given the fact that we now do have a lot of quantitative easing, do you think that the ECB is now more or less condemned to a policy of completely permanent quantitative easing in order to get anywhere near to the 2% target?
That's the most difficult question to address. The exit strategy is much easier to adopt QE policies, large purchase programs, or even negative interest rates, than to return to normal. And the fact is that, as you know, both private and public debt have skyrocketed over the past few years. And it means in practice that looking ahead, it will be increasingly difficult for central bankers, including the ECB, to normalize their monetary policies, because any, you know, abrupt increase in bond yields could trigger a debt deflation spiral and a disorderly deleveraging. So my point is that it's true that probably, you know, the ECB and all central bankers will continue to say that they are independent, but I believe that de facto we have entered into a fiscal dominance regime. You know, recently, you know, the monetary and fiscal policies are often presented as being complementary, that monetary policy is no longer the only game in town. But at the end of the day, they are much more than complementary. You know, say between no more border between monetary and fiscal policies, and de facto, the ECB and many central banks are trapped to some extent in their QE policies. At some point in time, we will see the moment of truth. If at some point you see raising inflation expectations, the question is what would be the room for maneuver for central banks to hike rates if they believe that inflation you know, is in danger in the medium term. And if they do respect their mandate, they may trigger a new financial crisis.
You spelled out the narrative extremely well, and you know very well what people are saying, particularly in Germany, but also in Austria, Netherlands, several other countries. They're saying the longer this unconventional policy goes on, the harder it will be to get out of it, for the reasons you mentioned. The greater will be the debt level, the greater the risk or the reality of fiscal dominance, and also the greater the risk of inflation and potentially the debauchery of the currency. Some people are conjuring this up, not for straight away, but maybe for 5 years down the line. You've summed up very well, Didier, what you see as the risks. How high are these risks that could materialize, say, in 5 years?
Yes, but something which is very important before answering your question is to say that in the short term, given the severity of the COVID crisis and the fact that we may experience a double dip in Europe, you know, following the second wave, my point is that you have some deflationary concerns. It's fully justified for the ECB to do what it does. The problem is that it will be very difficult, looking ahead, to normalize its monetary policy. Central banks have had no choice over the past few years, but with very low interest rates, with the fact that the equilibrium interest rates, R-star, has declined over time, and it was not related to monetary policies, but they have been forced to do some QE, because the other alternative would be, in fact, to adopt very negative key interest rates, and the side effects could be even more dangerous looking ahead for the financial sector. So my point is that on the one hand, in the short run, I would say for the coming year or for the coming 2 years, it was clearly necessary to go in this direction. But as you mentioned, it raises a question about how to incur inflation expectation, because the paradox of the situation is the following. If they succeed in reincurring inflation expectation, if they succeed in stabilizing the economy, at some point we would see renewed inflationary pressure. And that's a difficulty, and that's why they have to adopt a very flexible mandate. The ECB needs to take into account some financial indicators in addition to monetary aggregate, for sure. And it's the only way, I would say, to keep its credibility over time.
When do you think that moment of truth will arrive? Could it arrive in 5 years? Could it be earlier? Will it be later?
No, it's more likely, I would say, in 5 years than in 2 years.
We can watch that space. Just two more questions before we end, Didier. How well do you think Christine Lagarde has presided over this period of starting the strategic review? It's quite a difficult time for her. She didn't expect to take over the bank at a time of COVID. She's a politician and an administrator, a very capable one, rather than an economist and a central banker. How well is she doing? How well will she do in presiding over this very important strategic review?
Well, I believe she is doing very well. Christine Lagarde is clearly very good in communicating, in fact, what the ECB intends to do. The good news is that President Christine Lagarde has opened the debate, and it's very clear that all the arguments will be examined and that they are under consideration, that it takes time. I think it has been very clear from the ECB that we should not expect the conclusion of this strategy review before September 2021, because the situation is, the ECB mandate is much more complex than the Fed's mandate, so they have to review all the arguments. I believe that she has reassured, in fact, market participants that all arguments will be on the table, closely examined, and then the ECB will clarify at some point its strategy. And in addition to that, following the COVID crisis, the ECB has been very fast to answer, mobilizing, in fact, all the tools that it had at its disposal. And I think it has been welcomed by markets with lower sovereign spreads, lower credit spreads. The ECB has maintained financial stability despite the severity of the economic crisis. The ECB remains credible. I think it's not related to Christine Lagarde, but my point is that Christine Lagarde has maintained the credibility intact of the ECB. And now the ECB needs to clarify its mandate in order, looking ahead, to maintain its credibility. It's a difficult task.
And final question, Didier, given all that you've said about the danger of possible or real fiscal dominance, you spoke about traps and so on, the December meeting of the European Central Bank Governing Council will be very important, because there's a potential of increasing the PEPP by potentially a further 500 billion. Some of the hawks, although they're in a minority, they say, no way, we shouldn't do that because we will just be caught even more in a trap. Other people say we have to provide the markets with reassurance that we can get them through not just the first half of next year, but maybe the whole of next year, given the likelihood of a further economic downturn. What is your view? What do you think the ECB should do at the meeting in December?
I believe there is no doubt that the ECB will do more. I think it's very clear in the ECB communication. And it's not only about the ECB. I mean, look at what the Fed is doing. My point is that the door is wide open for more asset purchases in order to help governments to cope with this crisis. It has been often said, monetary policy is no longer the only game in town. It means that we need the fiscal tool to stabilize economies. It means that governments will have to do more in the short run to stabilize the economies, and they need the support from central banks. So there is no doubt that the ECB will do whatever it takes to maintain very accommodative financial conditions, to maintain financial stability, and to help governments to do what they need to do in the short run to stabilize their economies.
Good. Well, it may well be that the tools and the policies that the ECB uses in the meantime will actually prefigure the final definition of their overall responsibilities and possible changes in the inflation target that they come to announce in the end.
I'm not sure of that. As you know, disinflation is likely to materialize in the short run. And the ECB will probably communicate that in order to fulfill its objective, there is no doubt that they have it has to increase its asset purchase program. It does not say anything about what it should do when inflation will surprise on the upside, and how long the period of overshooting, you know, should last. So even if they react in December, the debate about its mandate in the medium term will remain wide open.
Good. Well, let's leave it there. I'm very pleased that we've had that conversation. So this is David Marsh, Chairman of OMFIF. I've been very pleased to be conversing here with Didier Borowski, who's the Head of Global Views at Amundi. I'm sure this won't be the last time we talk about these things, Didier, because as you say, there's a long way to go still until they finish this, but there'll also be lots of signs of developments and lots of action, I'm sure, and lots of policy making milestones along the way. So thank you all for listening, and I'm going to say goodbye for now and look forward to joining you on the next OMFIF podcast. Thank you all very much for listening. Goodbye.